I just want to make one point very quickly. We're a few minutes late, so I just want to. This point that we're going to talk about today is not even a religious. It's not even a religious idea. It's a it's a human being idea. The Torah of it, some of you probably heard, but it definitely pays to review it and maybe even drive it home. Yesterday's parsha. So Yaakov, he comes to v'shemu b'nei Yaakov v'shemu al Yisrael avichem. Yaakov tells his children to gather around. Very often, you know, the part of the problem of the life that we live in Torah is that we try to whatever we would feel, so we assume that's what Yaakov would feel, and whatever we would do, so we assume that's what Yaakov would do. So very often, like in our world, so things don't really matter. We live in a world that you could always correct, or you might not even feel a need to correct, and that whatever I do, you know, either I'm gonna fix it up, or I don't even need to fix it up, and I'll just say things, and if it's really bad, then I'll say I'm sorry afterwards, or maybe I won't even care, and maybe. But the Torah does not operate like that. For example, in Sefer Bamidbar, we're gonna see that when the Jews travel through the desert, there are specific places that each Shevet stands. There are triplets, four triplets around the Mishkan. Reuven, Shimon, and Gad, and Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun, and there are groupings of three each. So Rashi in yesterday's parsha tells us, where did this idea come from? Was it random that these three were in the north side, and these three were in the east side, and these three were in the south side? Where did that whole thing come from? So Rashi yesterday told us that no, it wasn't random. The way that they traveled in the Mishkan was specific to when Yaakov heyasvu v'agidalachem, when Yaakov gathered all the children around his bed on that day, and he said, "This is the positions that you're going to hold. That when I'm going to go up to Maris Machpelah and I'm going to be buried in Maris Machpelah, these are the positions that you're going to have. This is where you need to stand, and this is who you need to stand with." And the way that they stood that day, and the way that they carried up his coffin, is the same way that they traveled in the Mishkan. In the Torah world and in Yaakov's world, things weren't random. Things were very specific, and things were very instructive. So that whole scene of yesterday, a lot of the farsha talk about, was very odd. I remember when my father died. So it's one of the most powerful moments of my life. Is that it's only me and my sister, but he called us in each individually, and we had final moments. But Yaakov didn't do that. Yaakov didn't have intimate setting with each individual kid. And even if he had more than my dad, but still there was time that he could have talked to each one individually. But instead, he gathered them all together. Why did he do that? He didn't want an intimate moment with every child and say, you know, this is what you did good and this is what you didn't. This is what you didn't do good. Why is it that he had everybody standing there all together? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in Emes Yaakov, it was very important for him to have everybody all together. Why? Because Yaakov wasn't, in yesterday's reading, Yaakov wasn't telling everybody, "Hey, Yehuda, great news, you're going to be the king one day. And hey, Shimon and Levi, remember when you like wiped out Shechem and you sold Yosef, and you know, that was really bad." Because, you know, part of that whole calculation is that why on his deathbed would he scold Reuven and Shimon and Levi, even if they did bad things? But I mean, come on, now they're going to walk around with a complex for the rest of their life. So he says, that's not what was going on. What Yaakov was doing with each Shevet standing around his bed in the specific place that each Shevet needed to be, Yaakov was laying out to each Shevet what exactly their role needs to be for the future of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov was only concerned about what's going to happen and is this nation going to be able to survive. And in order to do that, he said, everybody's got a role. Like, for example, let's say you're the Philadelphia Eagles. You could sign like a whole lot of all-star players. And it could be like really, and everybody could be talking about dream team and all these like great and amazing things. But if you have a lot of individual all-star players that are not working in concert with everybody, and they're not all like all set up to do their roles in order to play like a team, so in the end, you end up out of the playoffs and you have pretty much absolutely nothing, and people wondering whether they're going to keep their jobs or not. It's the same thing, you know, Lahavdil a million times, you know, the Klal Yisrael and the Philadelphia Eagles, but But in some notion, team sports, which is maybe, I wonder, maybe this is why God created team sports in the first place, was so that we could pay attention and perhaps take a lesson. Is that the world that we're living in, whether we like it or not, first of all, it's not our world, so we don't really have a choice about whether we want to like it or whether we don't want to like it. But in the nation that we are born to, which, by the way, is an unbelievable nation, and is the best place that you really should be, even if we don't see it every single minute. But a fundamental principle of how we operate is that I could be doing as great as I could be doing, but it'll be almost meaningless if somebody else is not doing the role that they're doing. If the quarterback or the center or the or the pitcher or the whoever it is on whatever team you're talking about, if they're doing their job spectacularly, but the shortstop or the guard or the goalie or the is not doing their job, so then the whole thing is going to end up in a loss. Yaakov is saying to his children, listen. You might think, like, God. Oh, what's a God? For crying out loud. Oh, he's like one of the sons of the Shifchas. He's a maid son. He's like a short name. Only two letters. It's like, all right, it sounds like God, but it's not God. Who? He's irrelevant. And Yehuda might be walking around saying, like, who needs God? I'm gonna be Malchus. I'm gonna be the king. I should be the most important one. So standing right there in front of everybody, instead of having an intimate moment, Yaakov went through all the children and said, "This is what your role is gonna be, and this is what your role is gonna be, and this is what your role is gonna be," so that none of the Shvatim could look at the other one and think that they are irrelevant. Because the only way that you have a B'nai Yisrael is only if everybody is doing what they're supposed to do, and only if everybody is respecting what each other has to do. It's very easy for us to be like, well, there are certain Jews that I don't relate to at all. But which, by the way, it's not necessarily so bad, but on this point it is bad. That one, he throws rocks at cars. And that one, he wears a black coat when it's like 90 degrees outside and he snuffs. Did they ever create deodorant in this country? What's the matter with those people? And that one, you know the way that one treats his women? And the way that one, you ever watch their kids? And they kick and they spit and and you ever see that one? And we're always like looking at all other types of Jews and we're like, well, that's not for me and that's not for me and he's not like me. So first of all, we have to keep in mind that we can never class a certain group of people just because you have certain extremists or just because you have, certain individuals that do certain things that you don't like. You could take our population here of everybody who's great, of course, and we could also single out certain things that people do and be like, no, that I don't want to be part of that. No, you can't take a paintbrush and cover a whole group of people just because certain people do a certain thing. But even if you can, so we then have a fundamental problem in Klal Yisrael because we can't operate like that. The same way that there it was every single shevet had a role, and we can't look at any shevet in a way that like, no, that's negative and that's bad and that's trouble. Same way we can't look at individuals and say like, no, that guy is irrelevant and that guy's not important and that guy I could, but he likes it, but he takes it. No, just because he takes it, he might not like it. And then that's a fracture in everything. I could be sitting and learning all day, but if A, I'm making fun of somebody, or B, I'm tormenting somebody, or even none of the above, but C, I'm not making sure that every single person that I come into contact with is having the best day that they can, so then I have a problem with my learning. And the fact that I went to Minyan is important for the Minyan, but it's not going to hit the goal that it needs to get. Which, by the way, maybe you want to file in the back of your mind somewhere that when you're deciding what you want to do with your life, so maybe making a choice of doing something with your life that has to do with making Klal Yisrael a better place, instead of just grumbling about it on the side of a street somewhere or at some water cooler, or in some street corner. So instead of grumbling about it, why don't we do something about it? I'll give you an example. Leva Torah examples. There was a guy. There was a guy one year, and he was, he had trouble with certain things. He did when he was in high school. He was involved in drugs, and he did like a whole. So I said to him, I said, like, how did this happen? You're such a good guy. How did it happen that one day you ended up in drugs? And he said to me, this is like almost a direct quote. He said, well, what happened? Like, I was in yeshiva. And I saw like a whole bunch of guys, not Israel Shiva, he was in high school. And I saw a whole bunch of guys, and I'm like, wow, I would love to be friends with them. So I went to try to hang out with them, and all they did all day was make fun of me. Oh, you're a loser because of this. Oh, you're strange because of that. And oh, you know, make fun. So how much could a person take? I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to hang out with them. So you know, the only people that didn't make fun of me were the guys standing on the street corner. You know, they didn't pass judgment on anybody. They're like, oh, you want to hang out with us? Oh, great. You know, here, take a hit, and we're all friends. So like, what was I going to do? I had a choice. Either I could be in a place where I was accepted, you know, and do things that were wrong, or I could be in a place where I was going to get verbally and emotionally abused by my friends. So what would you choose? So now, if you would have gone over, then he was really messed up. So if you go over to one of those guys, one of the make fun of people, and you would say to them, listen, if you make fun of this guy, you know what's going to happen? He's going to end up going on a street corner, hanging out with non-Jews, and you know, doing drugs and stealing, which is what he did. Like, you know, so if you would have said to any of them, this is what's going to happen, you know what they would have done? They'd be like, whoa, sorry, I didn't realize. And they probably would have been like sort of friendly with him, or at least more accepting. But the problem is, we don't realize. We think that, hey, I'm just going to get into one liner, or I'm just going to get into one jab, I'm just going to get in one, you know, one comment or one, you know, one statement, and they're not even going to, you know, so what? You know, he takes it all the time, so he'll just take it a little bit more. But we don't realize how this was a true story, and the kid was in therapy for a whole lot of years. I'm still in touch with him. He's an alumnus of the yeshiva, you know, marginally religious. Goes up to Shemayim. Why are you marginally religious? Because they weren't. Because they were nasty to me. That's not something that you want. You know, that we want on our Facebook. On the flip side, there's another Leitav Torah guy, and he decided that v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha shouldn't just be one of those things that we talk about, and then everybody's like, oh yeah, good idea. But then we continue doing our life the way we've always been doing it. So nobody knew about this. I knew about it because I'm nosy. So he had a list of every guy in the yeshiva, and he marked off one a day. Every day he went down the whole list, and he did, I'm going to make sure I'm going to do something nice for one guy in the yeshiva one time a day. And in 60 days or whatever it was, he knocked off everybody in the whole yeshiva. I did something, not like my friends who I always hang out with, and not my, Rebbeim, and not the people who I could get something from the whole, you know, get something from the whole occurrence. The guy doesn't even have to know I'm doing something nice for him. It's not about the credit. It's not about that one day I'm gonna then be like, oh yeah, by the way, that was me. I did it. Not about that. Just for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Just for the sake of, hey, asfu v'agidol lechem es asher yikra eskam lachbris hayamim. Because you know what happened? To Yaakov. Yaakov gathered everybody around. He wanted to tell them when Mashiach was going to come. And all of a sudden, the Shekhinah left him. And he's like, what's going on? Shekhinah never leaves me. But you know what the problem is? I want to tell them what Mashiach's going to come. We know what stops Mashiach. Sinas Chinam. It must be that standing in the room right now, there must be Sinas Chinam here, because Hashem doesn't want me to talk about Mashiach. And that's why, you know, and that's why he did it. So here's a challenge. Now, we challenged last week. I don't know if anybody did it or not. We challenged last week about secular culture. Here's a challenge. How badly do you want Ge'ulah to happen? Is it something that we just talk about, or something that we know is a good idea? Or is this something that I am going to live by? Mashiach is not going to come if we have Sinas Chinam. Mashiach is not going to come if I don't make sure that everybody is having the best day possible. Mashiach's not going to come. If that's the case, so what am I going to do about it? Am I just going to talk about it, or am I going to do something about it? Is it only about me and my credit, or is it about what could I do in order to have Geula come? I was learning in Yeshiva Shalavim. So in Shalavim there was this chavrusa when I was Shana Aleph. There was this chavrusa, and they were learning pretty well, but one guy just like disappeared for like a lengthy amount of time. So Chavrusa was like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe that I'm stuck with this Chavrusa. He disappears like for a crazy amount of time. So one day he decided to follow up to see what was going on. So, you know, the guy went out, same time every day. The guy went out, his Chavrusa followed him. He was like peeking up, what's he doing? And he saw his Chavrusa was going to the bathroom. all right, like technically that's legit, right? He's going to the bathroom. But like, what are you doing in the bathroom for so long, like you're crying, you know, for crying out loud? It's like really, you know, that's really crazy. So he's like, oh, whatever. And he goes back to his muckle. But it kept on happening, and he knew he was going to the bathroom every day. So like, what's the, you know, he's like, it's really crazy, what's he doing? I'm going to find out what's going on. So one day, like he knew the chavrusa was going to, you know, at that time the chavrusa was going to go. So he excused himself first. And he went to the bathroom, and you know, like in the movies, like he went into the stall, you know, and he stood on the, you know, on the seat so that nobody would see his feet and nobody would know that anybody's there. And he was like peeking over to see what was going on. Chavrusa comes in the same time every day. Chavrusa comes in and he takes out like that little bristle thing and he starts cleaning the toilets. So he's like, what the heck? What's going on over here? Like Chavrusa's ditching to go clean the toilets. It's ridiculous. I can't believe that. What's going on? So he goes back to his makom. He's like, I caught you. What's going on over here? You're ditching me to clean toilets? What's the matter with you? You know, they pay people to clean the toilets. We're supposed to be learning. What are you doing? So he said, back then, the women who cleaned the toilets in Shalom, they always wore green jackets. So, you know, we were very, you know, very intelligent. So we called them green ladies. So he said, do you ever think what it was like to be a green lady? He said, here's a woman who probably immigrant. You know, they all were immigrants actually, but probably couldn't get, you know, they don't speak the language, so they can't get a real job. So they come to be, you know, cleaning people. And so what do you think happens? She goes home, she has a whole family. In her family, she's got to cook and clean the toilets and, you know, clean this and clean that, and, you know, and then she's got to come to work and she's got to clean toilets after 18-year-old guys who are just too lazy to bend down and not think about anybody else besides themselves and what's going to be good for them. So she's got to, like, you know, do that disgusting job of cleaning up after, you know, after 18-year-olds. That's terrible. How dehumanizing could you get? So you know what? I feel bad for her. So I go every morning and I scrub the toilets before she gets there, so at least she can have the slightest bit of dignity in a world that's probably not so dignified. Because he thought outside the box. Like, you know, it's not just about me. Is somebody getting paid to do the job? Yes. Somebody is getting paid to do the job. You know, does it stink for her? Yeah, it stinks for her. But, you know, listen, you got to make money. That's the way the world works. You know, or, like, let me just be a bit sensitive to what, you know, to what's going on in my world around me. One time there was, same way that we have a sifriya over here. So a lot of yeshivas have a sifriya. Because not all the books fit. So sometimes it's good to learn in the Sifriya also because it's quieter than the Beis Medrash. So sometimes people like to learn in the Sifriya. So one time in this yeshiva in England, so there were two guys and they went to learn in the Sifriya and they locked the door because they didn't want to be disturbed. Now a few minutes later, there was a knock on the door, you know, and they were like, oh God, I'm just gonna ignore it. Why don't you just learn? So they're just learning, you know, but the guy was knocking. You know, somebody needed a book out of the Sifriya. One of these like quaint, one of these quaint books that nobody uses so often, that's why it gets stuck there. So finally somebody, there was a shade on the door. So one of the guys goes over to the door, doesn't see who it is, and says, who is it? So let's say, let's say the Rashiva's name is Boaz, I don't know. So he says, it's Boaz Mori. So the guy's like, Yeah, right. It's book, you know, and he starts like taunting. You know, he starts taunting the guy on the other end of the door. Yeah, I'm sure it's Boaz Mori. Next thing that you're going to tell me is that you're LeBron James, and then you know, and how, why don't you, why don't you go and, you know, like they do one of those kinds of things when, you know, we've all done this one time in our lives when we, you know, when we like said things not realizing that like, well, it might really actually be the person. So finally his friend said to him, by the way, you know, the voice is like pretty good. If somebody's like pretending on the other side, they should like go to Hollywood because, you know, it's a pretty good show. And the guy takes a peek through the window and it turns out it's the Rosh Yeshiva. They're like, whoa, you know, dead. Like, holy cow, I can't believe it. I just like, you know, I just taunted and made fun of the Rosh Yeshiva. So he unlocks the door and he, so that the Rosh Yeshiva could come in. And then the Rosh Yeshiva walks in and they see that he's walking like this. And he goes to the shelf and he gets his book and he comes back, he walks back like this and he leaves. Why? Because obviously anybody who was taunting the Rosh Yeshiva would be embarrassed if the Rosh Yeshiva knew who was taunting him. So it's in order to save somebody else's dignity, even if the guy deserved it. Because even if the guy made fun of the Rosh Yeshiva, even if the guy deserved it, but still, that I'm nothing if that guy is embarrassed. I'm nothing if, no, oh, you embarrassed your friend, get Eloh Chelik Olam, forget Eloh Chelik Olam Haba. I'm nothing. I'm nothing if everybody is not doing the best, is not doing the best that they could possibly do. We have a choice, and I'll issue you this. I'll issue you this challenge. Now we have a choice of how we want to live. Either we could just, I gotta grow in my Shana Aleph, and I gotta focus on myself. And or we could realize that yes, what I do myself is very important, but at the same time, I have a responsibility to the klal. I have a responsibility to the tzibur, not just to be nice and not just to be acceptable, but what am I going to do to be proactive in making sure everybody's better? Now, in the dorm, in the dining room, in the shir room, in the base medrash, outside the walls, our parents, our parents who spend a ridiculous amount of money and care and love to get us to where we are. Am I just going to be in the daily routine of I'll call them every, whatever it is that everybody calls their parents? Or am I going to go an extra mile to let them know that I'm extra appreciative and to let them know that, that they're significant? When I'm thinking about what my Shabbos plans are, am I inviting, am I just staying zoned in on only the people that I always hang out with? Or maybe am I looking, maybe that guy, maybe he could use a Shabbos invite. Maybe he could use sitting next to somebody in the base medrash. Maybe he could use sitting next to somebody in the dining room. Okay, that guy does weird things in the dorm, or whatever it is. Who knows? I'm nothing if he's unhappy. I'm zero if he's not doing the best, if he's not doing the best that he could do. This is a principle that is fundamental to our religion. Is learning Torah important? Yes. Is davening important? Yes. Is making sure that every single Jew that I come in contact with, and maybe even going out of my way to contact more people to make sure their lives is better, is that critical to everything we do? Yes. And if we don't do that, so then all the good that we do has a big fat hole in it. Yerutzon Avnei Avinu Shebashamayim. Hashem should give us the vision to be able to look out at everybody and see that they're walking pieces of Hashem, and that is our jobs also, and that we want to bring that piece of Hashem and that Kedusha out of them, and that with all of us operating as one unit as opposed to individual units, hopefully through that we should see the Mashiach. Thank you.